Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to True Crime Time Podcast. My name is Elena.
And my name is Julia, and this is our second episode.
Today, we're going to be talking about the murder of Katarzyna Sawada.
Fun
that's
name.
Also me.
That's a really fun name. This is like a really weird case. Like, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah, reading it when you sent it to me, I was really concerned that this wasn't one of the most popular cases that people hear about. Like, it's not as famous as others. In 1998, Sawada began studying religion at Jagiellonia. Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It was university. Sorry, that was me on crack. Located nearby Krakow. According to friends, she was nice, although sad and withdrawn person.
She had suffered from depression since the death of her father in 1996. During her time at the university, she changed her field of study twice.
After her first semester as a psychology student, she briefly attended a history course before settling on religious studies.
On November 12, 1998, Sawada was due to meet her mother at the psychiatric clinic in Nowa Huta, where she had been treated for her depression.
However, she never made it to the appointment. Later that day, Sawada's mother attempted to file a missing persons report at the local police station, but was told to wait.
Like, why would you do that?
Exactly.
Okay, that happens so much.
Like, if you think that your child is missing or something, you want the police to start on it. But like,
I know. Mother's intuition, like, they know.
Exactly. And the police are like, nah, just wait.
Like, it happens so often, and usually it's all to file, like, a missing persons case to, like, a lot of, like, older people. It's like, you have to wait 48 hours, but in the first 48 hours, those are, like, the hours that they're most likely going to still be alive.
Exactly. If you wait longer than, like, 48 hours for any missing persons case, there's a high chance that they're already going to be
killed.
They're
dead. And so it's like, with older people, why would it be different? Like, why would you be like, no, you have to wait before you can file this missing persons case? It's like, what the heck?
Exactly.
Okay. On January 6, 1999, while on the Vistula, the crew of the Elk Pusher tug found a piece of foreign matter on the ship. After examination, it was discovered to be human skin. DNA tests indicated it belonged to Sawada. On January 14th, Sawada's right leg was also recovered from the river.
They had discovered that the killer had cut her up so that they believe he could wear her skin like a suit, and they also believed the skin was worn by the killer.
That's so messed up.
I know. Like
that's, mm-mm.
It's one thing to just kill them. It's another thing to, like, actually, like, skin them. Like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, and then, like, wear their skin.
Right. That's, like, ugh.
Who? Why?
And there's so many demented people.
You know. Okay, in May 1999, the Forensic Medicine Unit in Krakow received a corpse of a man with a severed and scalped head. The killer, Vladimir, that's a great name, Vladimir W., turned out to be the son of the victim, originally from the Caucasus.
I'm sorry. I also don't know how to pronounce that word, but I looked at it and thought it said couscous.
It probably does. Couscous.
It's like Caucasus.
Caucasus. Caucasus. Whatever that word is. Okay. Prior to the arrest, he was seen in the mask made of the skin pulled from the head of his own father. Just like what the murderer of Sawada did. Blech, that's
that's so disturbing.
Your own father. Like
what?
You're
Initially, investigators suspected that Vladimir committed Zawada's murder. However, no evidence was found to support it. Later, he was charged with his father's murder and sentenced to 25 years in prison. He was transferred to a prison in Russia at his own request.
A year later, the investigation was formally dropped because the perpetrator had not been discovered, but police officers involved in the case continued investigating credible leads.
In 2012, thanks to advances in the field of forensic research and cooperations with experts, the prosecutor's office resumed the investigation. A team of police officers from the X-Files, which is not the TV show, it's the Cold Case Unit, was brought in. The exhumation and additional autopsy of Zawada's remains were ordered.
Experts from the 3D expertise laboratory of Rocklaw Medical University created a model of injuries inflicted in the victim. They concluded that the attacker had used a sharp tool to wound his victim on her neck, armpit, and groin to inflict pain and cause her to bleed to death. That is, I know, oh my gosh.
I can't believe that, like, I mean, I can because some people's brains are, like, genetically different, but, like, it's like a chemical, like, sorry, I just forgot the word. It's like a chemical imbalance. Like, they have to do this.
Why? People are just so messed up.
In 2014, an FBI representative for Europe created a psychological profile of the suspect, pointing to his sadistic tendencies. In 2016, investigators consulted with University of Coimbra professor Duarte Nuno Vieira, a Portuguese specialist in forensics and UN expert in the field of signs of torture on the human body. He confirmed that Zawada was tortured before her death and that the perpetrator was probably trained in martial arts, specifically one particular undisclosed variation.
On October 4th, 2017, 19 years after the murder, police arrested 52-year-old Robert J. in Kazimierz district. Investigators searched his apartment and found blood in the bathroom. As a result, the bath and the frame were secured for further testing. He was a person of interest in 1999, but he had not been arrested.
Robert J. fit the psychological profile as he was trained in martial arts. He knew the victim, he visited the victim's grave, and had a history of harassing women. First of all, big red flags.
Yeah, also, I just realized, they literally had a murderer on the loose for 19 years. Who knows how many missing person cases from that area could have been him.
True, well also, when they restarted this case in 2012, they got the cold case unit out. Because the case had no interest anymore. It was just kind of, dead.
Yeah. And that's horrible. Like, this case is horrible. Why would you...
Exactly. Wouldn't you want to keep finding, like, every lead that you could? Or, like, at least connect it to something between those 19 years?
Yeah, I know. It's just, like, that's horrible. It's so bad.
He had previously worked in a dissecting lab where he dealt with human corpses. He also worked at the Krakow Institute of Zoology, where he could observe the process of repairing animal skins. His employment was terminated the day after he killed all of the institute's rabbits during his shift. Robert J. couldn't explain his actions. This dude had bad news written all over him.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay. How was he only, like, a person of interest? Like, why did they not push further on him? Because he knew martial arts, he knew the victim, he visited the victim's grave. Like, literally everything about him literally says murderer. Like, I murdered him, like, her, obviously.
Exactly. There's, like, so many red flags pointing to him being the murderer. I almost said the victim, and I was like, that's not right.
That definitely isn't right. Police detained him after a letter from the suspect's friend. The contents of the letter are a closely guarded secret of the investigation. Robert J. was charged with aggravated murder with particular cruelty. He maintains that he did not know Zawada, even though he had known her and visited her grave. Like, it literally said that he knew her. And, like, if you didn't know her, why would you visit her grave?
Like, that seems a little suspicious.
Like, I don't know her. I just visited her grave for fun, and my friend says that I know her. It's just, he's a jokester,
exactly.
You know?
Suspicious. The Court of Appeal agreed to extend his detention until September 6, 2018, while investigators gathered evidence. In December, Robert J. complained of harassment from the prison guards. The claims were investigated and found to be groundless.
As of September 2019, Robert J. has not yet been released. Investigators requested a closed trial. Investigators are still gathering and collecting evidence. Which is scary, because he could be, like, out, you know? Like, anytime
See,
now.
To clear up any confusion about the case, this type of murder was dismemberment and skinning because the murderer made a bodysuit out of the victim's body. The motive was sexual. Not sure all the details on that, but that's all that we know about the motive for now.
The only suspects that there is released is Robert Jankazuki. Yeah, that Robert J. And he was arrested and charged with murder with particular cruelty. Like, this case just, like, makes you shiver and, like it's just weird and it's just, like, ugh. Okay. So, anyways, guys, this is the end of the podcast for today.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and hopefully we'll see you all next week.
If you have any questions, then email true_crime_time@yahoo.com.
Bye!